Hello everyone, my name is Yashna.
And I'm Kalpana.
Welcome to the Worth of Our Opinion podcast.
We are Indian postgrads in psychology, one among those that actually can't read your mind. We share our experiences and conflicts of the world, the other, and the self. Now our content is not limited to the field that we're studying. We value listening with the intention to understand, and on this podcast, we share perspectives in a real, meaningful, and simple way.
But before we begin, a little disclaimer. We are going to be talking about so many topics on this podcast, and when we're talking about them, when we're in that zone of flow, we may not be aware of the generalizations we may be making at that moment. We believe that there are exceptions that exist for everything, and we would like to take full responsibility for all that we share and speak about.
So, good day, everyone. I hope you all are doing well and that you're having a great week, day, month, whatever. I don't know. If this is your year, well, that's pretty rare, so I'm very happy for you. Today, welcome to our podcast where I am going to be so uncomfortable because we are talking about things that I dread completely. I have spent months and years trying to stay away from content that really scared me and frightened me and stories and movies that would scare the living hell out of me. I tried so hard to stay away from it, but finally, I don't know, here we are. We're talking about ghosts, if it wasn't obvious. Of course it wasn't obvious. Whatever. I don't know, like we were brainstorming. Yashin and I were brainstorming ideas on what to talk about and, you know, a couple of ideas we could use as quote unquote podcast ideas. And then she randomly, like, there's a silence and then she looked at me. She's like, she didn't look at me. We were on call and she was like, let's talk about ghosts. And I'm like, bro, what? And then she was like, it'll be fun. And I'm like, bro, for you probably. I can't even listen, this goes way back. There are so many things that I do to stay away. I don't know, bro. I listen, as a kid, you know, I was like, I think around 10 years old or 11 years old. This was at that point where Gmail was like overly used and, you know, Gmail was the in thing. You were one of the cool kids if you had a Gmail. So there were these forward emails that would go around saying that if you don't forward this to 10 people, you're gonna die tonight. And then I was like, oh shit, is it really gonna happen? And then like I got this email one day and there was this thread of stories talking about how this girl, she came home one day and her family was at home and she went to her room to do her homework and there was this weird clown looking statue in her room. And then she goes down to her parents and then she's like, mommy, daddy, there's this weird looking clown in my room. I don't know what's going on. What's up? And they're like, no, it's probably nothing. You know, it's nothing. It's just your doll or something like that. And she's like, okay. First of all, this story doesn't make any sense. But when you're 10 years old, everything makes sense. Okay. So I go up.
That girl goes up.
Yeah. So she goes up in the night and she sleeps. And then she still sees this clown face in her bedroom and it's still dark. And then the clown was smiling at her. I do not know how dumb this girl was to think that, this is quite normal. The clown killed her. And then after that, it says, well, if you don't forward this to 10 people, the clown is going to end up in your room. And I cried for the next 3 days as a kid. And I'm hyper. This is a girl who was scared of the movie Onion, okay, which is essentially a movie about multiple personality disorder. So I got so scared. I cried to my dad. I cried to my mom. And they're like, why don't you tell the girl that sent you this to stop sending you this anymore because you're scared? And at that age, that's a huge esteem issue, you know, like to tell someone that I got scared, please don't send. So I finally email her and I'm like, please don't send these to me. It scares the living crap out of me. So these forward emails were one thing. Oh my God. Even movies like Koi Mil Gaya, right? I am scared. I am terrified of the alien. Huh. I would imagine that the alien, his name was what? Jadu, right?
Jadu.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. He was scary to me. I would imagine him being black with red eyes and then like claws and everything. And you know, my staircases back in the US were pretty scary, bro. Like, I mean, it was scary in the dark. I would imagine him climbing up the stairs when I would go up the stairs. So you should have seen the way I would run. My childhood was quite scary. scary, bro. I hated it. I hate ghosts with my life. It took me 3 months after watching any horror movie to cope with, you know, okay, going to the bathroom and feeling safe, sleeping safe. You know, there were times where I would sleep in the night. I would be scared to get off the bed because I was scared a gray skeletal hand would come and grab my feet. I mean, I hope y'all relate to this. I don't know if Yashna does. Have you experienced, like, what do you do to, like, to cope with the fear of, you know, ghosts? I mean, I don't even know. From what I know, she's not even scared, but she's crazy.
Yeah, I think I was scared of ghosts as well. Like, when it comes to, you know, getting off the bed and not imagining. I have a loft in my room and I always, like, it's empty, like there's nothing there. And I'd always imagine that, you know, someone's, you know, looking down on me from that loft. And, you ask me how I cope with this. The only thing I do is I cover my face with my bedsheet or my blanket. That bedsheet or that blanket, I psychologically think that will act as like a barrier and that will not that ghost will not come inside me and, you know, harm me in any way.
Girl, I mean, come on. I remember when, like, me and my college friends were sitting and we were talking for 3 days straight. We were talking about horror stories and stuff like that and things related to trypophobia. I don't even know where that came up from. I remember Yashna telling me that, and I remember this clearly because that's one of the scariest things about you for me, okay? Again, I'm sensitive. I mean, other people might not think it. But she said that if a ghost were to encounter me, I would sit and talk to it. And I'm like, dude,
I am genuinely interested in talking to ghosts, like, you know, where they're from, what happened, why are they here, you know, just to, even if it's from a psychological research point of view, I would love to sit down and talk with them and, you know, discuss where they're from, why are they here. So I would like to know what their wishes are and, you know, to fulfill it for them so that they can, you know, be sent off into the unseen world, quote unquote. But yeah, I would genuinely love to talk to ghosts.
Bro, I think for me, like, I would be willing to talk to it if the ghost promises me that okay, I will not suddenly reappear in front of your face. I will suddenly not scream in your ear. I suddenly won't wake you up in the middle of the night and yank you like in Paranormal Activity. And this is another thing. Okay. Bathrooms. All right. If the ghost promises me that if the current goes out and I'm in the bathroom, they won't pop out of nowhere. Number one, when the current comes back on. Number two, when I wash my face, right? I look at myself in the mirror. I go down to wash my face. If they promise me that when I come back up, I'm not going to see a face right next to me, I am good. All right. I am good. I want them to sit in like a meter distance and talk. All right. I don't even know how these guys are going to communicate. But again, going back to the things that would drive me crazy. The thing is, the smaller the mirror is, the closer the person is to you. So I hate it. I hate it, dude. Even like 2-3 days back, I was taking a shower and the current went out completely. No light on the streets. And oh my God, you would think that, okay, she's grown up and I'm waiting for the current to come back on. And then I'm telling myself, there's not going to be anyone in the bathroom when the lights come on. There's not going to be anyone. Oh my God, dude. And it's crazy because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to see, you know how your retinas kind of adjust depending on how much light it is? They were not adjusting. They were not, I couldn't see things around me. I was like, so bathrooms are the worst for me. And this might get quite graphic, but especially with, again, going back to Koi Milgaya, which I told you I would quote, I was scared that Jadu, like when I was sat down for the toilet, Jadu would come up from the toilet and like bite my butt or something as a kid. Dude, man, like I have an imaginative mind and I think that's why my name is Kalpana, which means imagination. But yeah, but like what are ghosts exactly? Like how would one define them?
Let's get nerdy again.
Yeah.
And ghosts, okay, there are two definitions that I found off the internet. And one was something that I spoke about a little while ago. And it was the spirit of a dead person that someone believes that they can see or feel. I don't know how the feel part works, but this is a definition, so we can't really argue with the definition. But the other definition is the soul of a dead person believed to be an inhabitant of the unseen world to appear to the living in bodily likeness. Basically, a spirit or a ghost is something that you see that's not currently living. You know, there are different types of ghosts that we'll get into later, but they're basically an entity that's not alive, that doesn't have a beating heart, and that doesn't walk and talk and speak and, you know, sleep like us.
You know, I've heard people talk about how you can tell if a ghost is around if the room gets unbelievably cold, right?
Yeah. So, and suddenly, yeah. Instantly.
Oh my God, bro, just talking about that. Oh my God, I hate this. But you know, like, and this is like, I mean, this is a story that, you know, one of our college friends said to me, mm-hmm. that her friend, right?
Right.
Her friend had this experience where the room suddenly got freezing cold.
Okay.
Right? And he could feel the bedsheet being yanked for some reason. Dude, okay, you guys should know that I'm kind of trembling as I'm saying this. But yeah, apparently, like, the bedsheet was, like, you know, the bedsheet was being yanked, and he was grabbing onto the bedsheet, and then suddenly it stopped. And then when she told me this, I was looking at her dead in the eye, and I'm like, are you serious? And then I go to my best friend's house, okay? And her mom, oh my God, I wish she hadn't said this. She looks at me, and I go to her house for sleepovers all the time. And she was like, oh, you know, this house is haunted. And I'm like, what, auntie, what? And then she's like, yeah, I could feel someone tug at my bedsheet. And I'm like, what is this? What is up with the ghosts in the bedsheet? And so she's like, I could feel someone tugging at the bedsheet. I'm just like, okay. So, I mean, like, it's much more scary when people, like, you know, talk about stories that they've experienced.
Right.
One time, all right, and now this is something that everyone was talking about at school. Mm. On the field trip, and I wasn't here. Thank God I didn't go for that field trip. A bunch of boys gathered in one room, and they opened up the all-legendary Ouija board. I don't, yeah. And I'm not going to get into details in the interest of time, but apparently, like, the light started flickering, and people started talking very, like, possessed. And I was like, bro, I mean, come on. And everyone was horrified after that experience the next morning. And it's scarier when you know that, like, your friends have experienced it. And I'm just like, I mean, listen, I'm not going to believe in what you're saying because I want to keep my mental sanity straight. But, like, I mean, these are things I've heard. But, you know, is there actual science to prove it? Like, you know, I mean, I know that there's studies that have been done, like, for, but, like, what are the things that you've come up with for today?
Yeah, so answering your question about, you know, the whole theoretical background behind this, before I begin the theory of ghosts, can we speak about the types of ghosts?
Yeah.
And not trying to creep you out.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, the types of ghosts. So I came up with 5 types of ghosts. One is the interactive personality. So this is someone who is dead. Someone we might know, and they can range from being friendly to, you know, scaring the living crap out of us. They're visible, they can speak, and they can make noises, and they can emit an odor that, you know, these people speak about, like, you know, Cosmo's eyes just went wide open. But yeah,
like, bro, but I think there's probably ghosts in the road behind our college to the bus stop, because, and that road's called DMS, and that is the stinkiest road I've ever come across. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of dead animals that are butchered there, so go on.
Yeah. So that's the first type of ghost. The other one is the ectoplasm or the ectomist, where you will only see a fog or a mist or a swirling cloud. This can be white or gray or black. It has no shape. Why are you so scared?
No, I'm not scared because like another one of my friends had this experience where they saw like a white mist or a white fog just like come up from a vent and just go up like that. Not a vent, but like a ladder of sorts. I'm so sorry. Like everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, go on. So sorry for interrupting.
There's something called a poltergeist, and I'm pronouncing this right, poltergeist, and this is the noisy ghost. This is the ghost that makes a lot of noise, the repeated bangings on the wall, it basically manipulates physical environment, and there's a lot of door slammings, lights turning on and off. So this is that type of a ghost. Do you have an example, Kalpana?
No, can we just please move on? I can't deal with this anymore.
Okay, So, next type of ghosts are the orbs. So, this is the more friendly kind of a ghost. It's not something that's that has a shape or form. It's like a translucent ball of light. It moves very fast. You will be lucky to capture an orb. You're quite lucky to capture it because orbs are supposedly moving so fast that you can't even see them. And they're usually white, but sometimes they can be blue as well.
Apparently, if you take them on like a DSLR, apparently, like, because like I've heard someone say that you could see these orbs around some people, you know, and they're more stronger around some people. I'm like, oh, I want to see that. Go ahead.
Yeah, same. Even I want to see that. And the last type of ghosts are the funnel ghosts. And this is where you'll find the room getting cold when this type of ghost is in the room. And it's like a swirling funnel, and that's why it's called funnel ghost. And it's usually a loved one trying to return to a for a visit. It's like a funnel of light or a spiral of light. It can be caught in like a photograph, or like if you take a video, you can catch that type of a ghost. But yeah, so these are the types of ghosts. And
before, like, I'd just like to take a little bit of a back step to go on like things that I've read that would prove that, okay, this is probably all in your head, because that's personally comforting to me. There, when it comes to, you know, having a sense that, okay, I'm experiencing a ghost, or like, I mean, I'm seeing one, or I'm feeling something, you know, like it feels weird and all that.
A lot. Paranormal activity kind of a thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, don't even say those words. Our perception has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And for those of you who would like to know what the definition of perception is, it is the way we process sensory information, the way we interpret sensory information, the way we organize it, and how we experience sensory experiences. I mean, yeah, two experiences in that. But yeah, so it's basically how we interpret stuff around us through our sensory organs. Now, the way we do this cognitively, right, we do it through two processes, the bottom-up processing and top-down processing. Now, these are two types. When we are engaging in bottom-up processing, we pick up signals from the stimulus that we're perceiving in itself. We notice its features, we notice its textures, we notice its smell, we notice its sight, the colors, everything about it, and we form an image of what it is. Right? We put everything together and then it goes to our head and then we perceive it. Now that's one way. An example would be, okay, in the context of, and this is something I've personally, like, this is something I can apply to. If I were to see from my room a dark, empty apartment, and this is real, like this was back in Chennai, a dark, empty apartment, like the house was quite big and lonely in the night, and there was a dark apartment, okay? Now here, bottom-up processing would be noticing that there's an empty, under-construction apartment that's really dark. Now I see the window. I see the contours of the different walls in the window. It's all dark, right? And I can see some figures, right? So that's it. Now that's bottom-up processing, where I notice the features of what I'm seeing.
And you perceive it as something of a paranormal activity kind of a thing happening there.
That's one. And I kind of form an image of what it is. Now, what makes it fearful in that moment for me, right, is what you could explain as top-down processing. Where if we find gaps in what we're perceiving and we're trying to put what we're looking at in terms of, in a particular context, right? We're trying to make sense of it.
Right.
That would be our brain sending us interpretations or giving us like some kind of understanding based on what our previous experiences are. Now, in this scenario, when I was back in college my first year, I saw the movie A Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I have.
I hate that movie. Because I experienced and I watched this movie, I could see like different grooves and everything. It looked like a hat.
Right.
I forgot what his name was. Do you remember what his name was?
No.
Okay, whatever. The main character with the burned face, right? I could kind of put what my previous experiences were into what I was perceiving, and I could see the hat. I could see his face. I could see his body. You know, right. I could see, and then my imagination, which was completely unwarranted, could see red eyes. I mean, I imagined it, and I unnecessarily scared myself. But even in so many other scenarios, right? Like, and I'm talking about this only in the context of ghosts and stuff like that. You can look it up and you'll find so many more examples on what it is. But even if you're looking at a patterned blanket, right? Yes. Your bottom-up processing would say, okay, this is a blanket. These are a bunch of patterns. No, not this is a blanket. You would see these are the colors. These are the patterns. This is how it looks. But your top-down processing would say, I'm able to see a face and I'm able to see a scary face. Mm-hmm. At times, your bottom-up processing could also see that, which is why you're able to see faces or figurines and clouds and stuff like that. But I mean to say that these two things play a huge role in how we perceive things. And this is what I would like to personally believe is why I think I see ghosts. But yeah, this is just one of the plausible explanations on why, you know, we think that we see ghosts. Right. Any ideas or any contributions, or what else do you have to say that, okay, like what else has the field of psychology contributed to the study of ghosts?
Right. So to answer your question about where we are in the field of psychology when it comes to perception of ghosts, I would like to go a little back to the 19th century, and I would like to talk about the relationship that ghosts and psychology shared. And this relationship was initially facilitated by the 19th century influence. So this relationship was initially influenced by the spiritualistic movement in the 19th century, and many pioneering psychologists like Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, and William James were strongly influenced by the spiritualist movement, and they tried to prove all of this through pseudoscientific methods. So what they did essentially was they linked human spirit after death. What they did was they said that the survival of human spirit after death, as well as the existence of spirits, is what they focused on back in the 19th century. So this relationship that they shared was never an easy one, because even Sigmund Freud, for that matter, he fluctuated between respecting this whole spirituality component and then going back to disrespecting it and then going back to, you know, respecting it again. So he himself was fluctuating. So now when it comes to psychology, there was a shift when it comes to the perception of ghosts. And so this shift moved from, you know, busting ghosts and understanding it from a spiritual point of view to experiencing and understanding the ghosts interior psyche and its experiences in the world, in the current world, and why it's here. Basically, what I said like a while back, I want to know why it's here, what it's doing here, and what it wants to do. So the shift from, you know, busting the ghost and from catching it or doing something to it to understanding the psychic of that ghost. And so there's this movie called The Sixth Sense. It was actually based on a book called The Sixth Sense by M. Night Shyamalan. And it's about, I'm not going to spoil it for those people who haven't and who are willing to like watch the movie, but it's a brilliant movie. And in movies like this, they talk about how the spirit has something that's unfulfilled. And that's when the shift was made. And there was a paper that suggests that the anxious ghosts that you see in contemporary media, these movies that you see and these TV shows that, you know, portray anxious ghosts, they try to, in a way, make sense of this whole unnatural phenomenon. They try to make the irrational and they try to turn it into something that's, you know, believable and something that has a new reality to it. So this is what happened in the field of psychology. So first, there was this whole spirituality component to it. And then the shift was made from the whole spirituality to, you know, understanding the inner psychic of the ghost. And even though the anxious types of ghosts that you see in the contemporary media, even though they're portrayed very massively and, you know, with a lot of impact.
And a lot of fabrication in movies, right? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of fabrication involved.
Like, it's highly accentuated, yeah.
Yeah, so when it comes to things like that, you can see the shift from spirituality to actually understanding the ghost. And there are a lot of experiments that are done. There's this place called Creeps, C-R-E-E-P-S. So the full form of that is the Center for Research on Emotion, Ectoplasm and Psychological Science. And this is a lab where they try to understand and they try to experiment with ghosts. And I don't understand how this works, because they say that their subjects are ghosts. What? And they find it difficult to bring in ghosts for, you know, experimenting and all of that. And it was a huge article, and I left reading that article feeling very confused, and I was confused about how they were able to, you know, get ghosts as subjects. So you can see the shift from spirituality to understanding the inner psyche to experimenting it. Mm. There's another school of thought that recently came in, which is the psychological construction. This is where they say that the ghostly mind is said to contain basic ingredients that combine and interact in complex ways to produce supernatural phenomena. So there's still active research on this, but the three components that they were able to find was light, soul, and gas. And these were the three components that made a ghostly mind. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. Like, something about gas is quite humorous to me. Imagine light, soul, gas. Anyway.
So, you know, like, yeah, but you know, when we talk about ghosts, I would also like to talk about how, you know, scientifically we can debunk ghosts. The major factor that plays a role in these paranormal experiences is sleep. So there are a lot of theories, there are a lot of experiments that are going on. And before I talk about sleep, I would also like all of you to go and read up or watch a video on the Russian sleep experiment. If you are anything like Kalpana, I would suggest don't watch the video. Just go read up on it on Wikipedia or anywhere on Google. You will find enough content to help you understand what the experiment was. So that's something that...
That is an experiment that brought chills. And I'll have you know that Yashna itself, before, during the day, she was like, that experiment makes me cringe. And for her to say that, it takes a lot of cringe and horror for it to come out. And that is a stark, you know, stark bridge between the observable and wow, you're just waking up the demons. That is, I mean, most psychologists know this, and our podcast on ghosts and other embarrassing things would have not been complete without talking about it.
Exactly. As I was talking before about sleep patterns, there are ways that sleep disruption can be confused with goals. There's something called sleep paralysis. And if some of you have watched this Netflix TV show called The Haunting of Hill House, you will see this phenomenon in one of the episodes. And sleep paralysis is basically a deep sleep stage, or the REM stage, where you become paralyzed so as to not act out your dreams. This is quite normal, so don't be scared if I say that you get paralyzed in your sleep. But what happens is, around 8% of the people, they retain some form of consciousness at that moment. When they are in this REM stage and when they are dreaming, their dreams are transferred into consciousness. And it feels like they're experiencing it in real life, and it's misinterpreted as seeing people or things that are not actually there. That can be one psychological way of debunking ghosts. Maybe it's just you experiencing sleep paralysis and you're misinterpreting what that experience was as, you know, as something that's supernatural or something that's, you know, paranormal, and it's a ghost that you're seeing.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, most people say that, you know, we experience what are called hallucinations, right? And hallucinations, and these are often frightful. Like, I know one person who experienced sleep paralysis, and when she experienced this, and obviously this is with prolonged sleep deprivation, so we wouldn't want you to think that, okay, just because you didn't sleep three nights in a row, oh my God, that's all. But if you are working, like, Lily Singh level working, she also experienced sleep paralysis. The person I know, she woke up and she saw a woman hanging from her ceiling, like, with a rope and everything. I was like, hello, bro, I mean, come on, I can't deal with that. So these are things that happen. So these hallucinations, they often can be interpreted as ghosts.
So when it comes to these, there's another phenomenon that can be explained as, you know, more psychological and more something that's understandable, researchable, and all of that. And that's the exploding head syndrome, wherein a loud bang is heard when you're drifting off. And that can be misinterpreted as, you know, a ghost doing the banging, any sort of paranormal activity, but it's just in your head. It's a syndrome. And that's that's another debunking thing that psychologists use to explain and help people come out of, you know, you're not experiencing ghosts.
Yeah, to console people like me. Either that or it's the noisy ghost.
Yeah. Apparently, since we were on the topic of sleep paralysis, decreasing anxiety is a major form of treatment that people use when it comes to sleep paralysis. And maybe you're so anxious and you're so scared that you experience sleep paralysis and you're scared of ghosts, and the whole cycle begins.
Damn. So moving on. So obviously, like with what you're saying, that there is a connection between, there's a connection when we're trying to study psychology in its relation to supernatural phenomenon. And obviously, as many would know, it's the field of parapsychology. And this is essentially the study of mental phenomena that's excluded from orthodox scientific psychology. But you know, honestly, like Yashna, I have a feeling that fields like this, parapsychology, this is a field that lurks in the shadows of Western thought, where people know it exists, people know that people study it, but you know, its validity, its credibility will lie only in the fields of philosophy and never as a psychological science, you know? And I think like one of the biggest gaps here is that even though like a lot of people come up with researches that prove things like telekinesis, hypnosis works and things like that, there is a lot of contradicting evidence or there's a lot of controversy in a sense. And people are like, no, this can't be true. Why? It's because I have a feeling that psychology essentially now has evolved into a highly Western form of study. And like when we're comparing the two, right? If you're looking at Eastern traditions, it is taken for granted that subtle bodies exist, spiritual bodies exist, that we are more than our physical manifestation in our world today. We are more. Rebirth exists. Right?
Right.
But then you have people like Brian Weiss, where he comes up with his book, like Many Lives, Many Masters, and he's still very controversial. Like a lot of people are like, no, listen, how does it make sense? You're just kind of fabricating so much of stuff up. So things like regression therapy, things that are sadly valid are only valid because they're proven by the West, and even the West doesn't have it all. When we're looking at why it's so difficult to study ghosts and everything like that is because the basic methodology that things like parapsychology use are limited to the physical plane. You're trying to study something that's supernatural, something that's beyond our existence through physical means, and it's quite reductionistic, which is why I think the scope of parapsychology is very, very limited, you know? And if you're looking at the East, right, it's more on intuitive knowledge. It's more spiritual in its orientation. And that is something that Yashna and I are going to be talking about much. I mean, like, this is a topic that has so many facets to it, but only within the context of parapsychology in relations to spirits and other powers, right? It's very limited.
Right.
Yeah, so these are things that we really need to think about. And obviously, the link and the differences between Eastern and Western psychology are things that you will have plenty of. But I just wanted to limit it to what how it is related to this. But yeah, these are things we need to think about. And so if we want to study ghosts, if we want to study supernatural phenomena, we need to shift the methodology that we use. And sadly, the methodology that Eastern cultures use is quite different from what the West uses. And these are things that are worth considering. But yeah, I think overall, I've managed pretty well in our episode today. I thought I'd like leave spooked because I was thinking that you were going to tell me a bunch of stories, but I'm so glad you didn't.
But yeah, thank you all for joining us today. We would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on today's episode. And since we're also new at this, we welcome feedback and constructive criticism.
Please feel free to email us at theworthofouropinion@gmail.com. And since Yashna always tells me to spell it out, it's theworthofouropinion@gmail.com. If you have any questions or ideas that you would like us to answer or cover in the next episode, or if you have book recommendations that you would love for us to check out, do send us an email about that as well. We post podcasts on the 10th, 20th, and 30th of every month, so we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.